Welcome to all those joining us for the Likutei Moran Shir. We're in the middle of the second half of Likutei Moran, Torah Ayin Aleph. We're towards the end of the Torah by the words, Veze Yaakov Chevel Nachalosoi, Zebechinas Choivlin. We'll do a short review of the Torah to get everybody into it again, and then we'll hopefully complete this Torah. Rabbi Nizal began by saying that there are Moichen of Eretz Yisrael and Moichen of Chutz Loretz, and that the Moichen of Chutz Loretz also receive and draw from the Moichen of Eretz Yisrael, because it's in Eretz Yisrael that's the main place of Chachma and Torah, like it says in the Medrash, there's no Chachma like the Chachma of Eretz Yisrael, and every single Jew has a portion in Eretz Yisrael. And each one, according to the portion that they have in Eretz Yisrael, they receive from these Moichen of Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Nizal explained that the Moichen of Chutz Loretz are created and brought about when there is a pigam in kovod, in the kovod of Hashem. When we show any kind of disrespect to Hashem, which means chas v'shalom, any time we commit any type of sin, or any time we take credit for ourselves, instead of giving the credit to Hashem the way we should be. And then Rabbi Nizal went on to say that one of the differences between the Moichen of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Loretz is that the Moichen of Eretz Yisrael are generally peaceful, that even when people disagree on an issue, they disagree in a peaceful manner and they come to a peaceful conclusion. Whereas the Moichen of Chutz Loretz, Rabbi Nizal quoted the Gemara saying, are Moichen that cannot come to agreement, major disagreement and conflict. Then Rabbi Nizal went on to say that we would think that this being the case, there shouldn't be any machloikis in Eretz Yisrael, only in Chutz Loretz. But then he went on to explain that there are times, that there's special times when the moichen of Chutz Loretz can get the tikkun that they need, the repair that they need, when the noyam ho'elyon is flowing properly. And Rabbi Nizal explained, when the Noyam Elyon is flowing properly, one of those times is when there's a Hoylodo, when there's a birth that needs to take place. And he went into an explanation regarding that. And then he went on to say, the Noyam Elyon is always flowing. However, we need a vessel in order to be able to receive and benefit from the Shefa that comes from that Noyam Elyon. And that vessel is Tzedaka, generosity. Then what Rabbi Nizal went on to include, mentioning Yaakov Avinu and Yosef HaTzadik, how they represented the Noyam Ho'elyon. Yosef HaTzadik represents this Noyam Ho'elyon, and Yaakov Avinu represents the union of Tzedaka. And Rabbi Nizal said that when the Noyam Ho'elyon is flowing properly, that's a time that these Moichen of Chutz Loretz come running because they believe that they can get their tikkun. If they merge into the Moichen of Eretz Yisrael, and if everything's working properly, the Moichen of Chutz Loretz can get the tikkun that they need. However, that's only if everything is in perfect order. If the vessel is good, the tzedaka was proper, and the hoylota is proper, then that can happen. But there are times, Rabbi Nizal said, when unfortunately the negativity in the Moichen of Chutz Loretz are stronger than the positivity in the Moichen of Eretz Yisrael. And in those cases, the Moichen of Chutz Loretz can actually cause damage and bring machloikis into the Moichen of Eretz Yisrael. This is pretty much what we've spoken about so far. And Rabbi Nizal had brought a pasuk towards the end, Chavolim nafluli bane'imim, af nachlas shofra oloi. Chavolim is a term that's associated with the moichen of Chutz Loretz, which are called choivlim. Choivlim mean damages, opposition, machloikis. Chavolim nafluli bane'imim. The chavolim try to fall into the ne'imim. The Noyam, this Noyam Ho'elyon, which represents the Moichen of Eretz Yisrael. And then Rabbi Nizal showed how the term Nachlas and Shofra, Nachlas refers to Yaakov Avinu. We have the pasuk Yaakov Chevel Nachlosoi. And Shofra, Shofra means beauty or handsomeness. Yosef HaTzadik was called Yefei Toyar Vifei Mara, Yosef HaTzadik and Dovid HaMelech, were both given these titles because they represent this Noyam Ho'elyon. Let's pick up from there where we left off, right after Rabbeinu Zal had explained this pasuk, and he spoke about the fact that this pasuk referred to Yaakov and Yosef, Shehem Bechinas Nachlas Shofro, and Al Yidei Zeh Nasa Hoylodo. When we have this combination of the Noyam Ho'elyon flowing and the tztoko, which formed the keli into which to receive this Noyam Ho'elyon, She'oz ha'choivlim noiflim bana'imim. Then these moichen of chutzlar, it's these choivlim, will fall into the ne'imim. V'zeh Yaakov chevel nachalosoi. Chevel, zebechinas choivlim. The word chevel is like the word choivlim. She'nistaknin al yidei bechinas Yaakov, which can get their tikkun through the aspect of Yaakov, which is bechinas tztoko. We had quoted earlier the pasuk Mishpat Utzedoka BeYaakov, Shal Yodo HaHoylodo, and we learned earlier in the Torah that when you have this keli of tzedaka and the Noyam Ho'elyon is flowing, this will result in birth. Shal Yidei Zeh Nistaknen HaChoivlim, and this could be a perfect opportunity for these choivlim to merge into, to connect with the ne'imim, the moichen of Chutz Loretz, to connect with the Moichan of Eretz Yisrael, HaChoivim Shem HaMoichan Shel Chutz Loretz, and V'zeh Bechinas Chevlei Leida. This will also explain the term Chevlei Leida. Chevlei Leida means the pains, the birth pains. Bechinas Choivlim Anal. These birth pains are associated with these Choivlim, Shenistaknin Al Yidei HaLeida, which get their tikkun when there's at a time of birth. Gam zebechinas shofro hanal, and the term shofro that we mentioned earlier in that pasuk, af nachlas shofro oloi, is also related to birth. Bechinas shofir v'shilya, the amniotic sac and the birth sac, which are referred to as shofir and shilya, bechinas hoylodo, are also associated with birth. So again, Rabbeinu Zal is showing that at a time when a child is being born, which we learned earlier, that's one of the greatest times of a revelation of Hashem's kavod. Hashem's kavod is associated with his attribute of malchus. We say ve'yovoi melech hakavod, and Hashem's kingdom is measured by how many people there are and how many people accept Hashem's malchus upon themselves. So each time a new Jewish child is born, the malchus of Hashem, the kavod of Hashem, is increased. The kavod of Hashem being increased is the tikkun for the moichen of Chutz Loretz, because we said the whole problem of these Chutz Loretz moichen came about through a pegamen kavod. So when there's a hoylada, these moichen of Chutz Loretz come running to try to get their tikkun, and they are the cause of those chevlei leida, the pains that a woman experiences in the process of birth. That's the result of these moichen of Chutz Loretz coming to try to get their tikkun at that time. Continuing inside, umach mas sheha moichen shel Chutz Loretz shein bechinas choivlim she choivlim zelo ze balocha. Because of the fact that these moichen of Chutz Loretz, which are referred to as choivlim, fighters, they oppose each other in halacha. They cannot come to agreement. They fall into the moichen of Eretz Yisrael, shehem bechinas noyam, which we said are referred to as noyam. The rabbis of Eretz Yisrael are man'imim zeleze balocha. They sweeten each other. They try to bring each other to agreement in their debates. Kedei lehistaken, these moichen of Chutz Loretz are joining in order to try to get their tikkun. Alkein, therefore, lefa'omim, at times, kishepoigmen harbe, when these moichen of Chutz Loretz are very damaged, which means chas v'shon, which means they came about through a major disrespect that was shown to Hashem, azai einom yecholim lehistaken. Then what happens is, unfortunately, these moichen of Chutz Loretz cannot be repaired. Adarabah, and just the opposite, Goyerman Pegam Gamla Hamoichin Shel Eretz Yisrael. They end up damaging the Moichin of Eretz Yisrael. They end up bringing Machloikis into Eretz Yisrael. Vazai Gam Hamoichin Shel Eretz Yisrael Einam Yecholim Lahashvois Atzmon. And then what happens is that the Moichin of Eretz Yisrael also are not able to come to agreement anymore. Ki Nivgimu Chas V'Shalom because they've been damaged as a result of the powerful moichin of Chutz Loretz, shenoflu l'sechem, which fell into them. And this explains how we find that even among the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael, there's machloikis. There's a lack of ability to be able to come to agreement, to join together. This Rabbeinu Zal was speaking about during his time, and we mentioned that this was directly related to what had gone on at that time, that one of the leaders who had led the Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael of the Hasidim, Rabbi Nachman Mendel Mivitebsk, had passed away, and Rabbi Avram Kalisker, who had come to Eretz Yisrael with him, was taking over the leadership of the Hasidic movement in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Avram Kalisker in Eretz Yisrael and the Balatanya in Chutz Loretz were in disagreement. Rabbi Avram Kalisker expressed dissatisfaction with the Sefer Tanya. He had issues with it. And that spilled over into disagreement also regarding how the tzedakos that were being collected, raised in Chutz Loretz, should be sent to Eretz Yisrael and distributed in Eretz Yisrael. Who should be in charge? Who should be responsible for it? And Rabbeinu Zal, in this Torah, was addressing his opinion on this issue, that unfortunately, the machloikis in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbeinu Zal felt, had originated in Chutz Loretz. Now, in this last paragraph, Rabbeinu Zal sums up the entire chapter of Likutei Moran and puts a finishing touch on it, really bringing it together and adding one or two points. Uklal hadvorim. To summarize everything we've said in this Torah, ki kol hanivroim v'kol ha'hoilodois kulam heimrak bishvil hisgalus kevoidois borach. The only most significant purpose of creation of all human beings and everything else in creation is only to reveal the kavod of Hashem. We mentioned that this is the final mission in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah there says, "Kol ma shebora Kodesh Baruch Hu ba'olamoi loy broi elo lechvoidoi." Everything Hashem created in His world, He created only for His kavod. Shenemar kol hanikra bishmi v'lechvoidi berosiv yitzarti v'afasisiv. As it says in the pasuk, everything that has My name on it, Hashem says, "Kavyochol, I created it for My honor," and it uses the different terms corresponding to the different worlds. The Iker Hahoilodo Al Yidei Hatzdoko. And Rabbeinu Zal had also explained that in order for there to be a birth, it requires a flow of the Noyam O'Elyoin going into a proper Keli. And what generates the Keli is the mitzvah of Tzdoko. She'al Yodo Nase Kli Lekabel Minoyam O'Elyoin. Through the mitzvah of tzedakah, we generate a vessel in order to be able to receive from the Noyam O'Elyon. The Noyam O'Elyon is an expression of goodwill coming from Hashem. The mitzvah of tzedakah is an expression of goodwill coming from us down below. When a person gives tzedakah, Rabbeinu Zal refer to it as nedivus slave. It's a good-heartedness. And that nedivus slave is what generates the vessel into which can be received the Noyam Ho'elyon, the divine sweetness that's needed in order to bring Shefa down to the world, and especially to bring about a birth of a new child. Shaydeze Nasa Ho'elodo, and it's this combination of the vessel, the tzedakah, and the Noyam Ho'elyon that lead to a birth. And this brings about a heightening and a revelation of Hashem's kavod. This summarizes what we've learned so far in the Torah. Now Rabbeinu Zal adds, "Vezeh oisiyos truma." This will explain the word truma, which means a contribution, a donation. We know that on Parsha Shkolim, in the beginning of the month of Adar, we read Parsha Shkolim, we read the beginning of Parsha's Kisisa in the Chumash, where it speaks about the Jews donating to the Mishkan, and those donations are referred to as the word truma over there. Ve'yikhuli truma, me'es kol isha she'yidvenu liboy. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you should take for me a donation from each and every person who has a desire, a good desire in their heart to give. Now Rabbeinu Zal says that the word truma makes up the last letters of the pasuk Lachsois benoyam Hashem ulevaker behecholoi, to be zeichet to see, to gaze at the sweetness of Hashem, and to visit in Hashem's castle, hecholoi. We had spoken about the word hechal earlier in the Torah, if you recall, when we spoke about the 10 statements of creation with which Hashem created everything. And we said that each one of those 10 statements of creation is an expression of the kavod of Hashem, whereby Hashem wanted that section of the world that was being created by that statement to give forth respect to Hashem, to show respect for Hashem. Each one of these 10 statements represent a different aspect of Hashem's kavod. As the pasuk said, uveheicholoi kuloi oimer kavod. And we mentioned that the word heichal is bigimatria aleph dalet nun yud, which is the name of Hashem for malchus, for kavod. Adon means ruler, a king. So here Rabbeinu Zal shows us now that this word truma, which refers to tzedakah, charity, makes up the last letters of this pasuk, which combines the Noyam Hashem, this divine sweetness, and the Hechal, which is the Kavoid. Ki Truma Hainu Tzedaka, because the word Truma refers to charity, Shehi Nedivu Slave, which is an expression of goodwill, good desire coming from the heart. Aliyoto nase kli lekabel minoyam Hashem, and it's through this tzedakah that generates the vessel into which we can receive from this divine sweetness. Shaydeze nimshach hisgalus kvoideis borach, which results in a birth, which is a revelation of Hashem's kavod. Shehu bechinas uveheicholoi kuloi oimer kavod. Vezehu Lachsois benoyam Hashem ulevaker beheicholoi soifoitevois truma. And this is why it's this pasuk which speaks about gazing at this divine sweetness of Hashem and visiting in the heichal of Hashem. The last letters of this pasuk make up the word truma, showing that it's tzedakah that plays a major role in making all of this happen. This would surely mean that a woman who's pregnant, or a person whose wife is pregnant and expecting to give birth, certainly one of the important contributions is this tzedakah that's given throughout the pregnancy and especially at the time of birth. Vezeh bechinas hashira. And Rabbeinu Zal adds now, this is also tied into the song. If you recall, when we started this Torah, we said that this Torah, Rabbeinu Zal said, on Shabbos Shira. It was said on Shabbos Shira. So now Rabbeinu Zal connects this to the concept of song. Bechinas ne'im zemirois Yisrael. Dovar HaMelech is called the sweet singer of the Jewish people. But note that Torah puts these two things together, Ne'im and Zmirois. That song, we know that the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh stress that there are 10 types of song. The Sefer Tehillim is comprised of 10 types of song. Those 10 types of song correspond to the 10 statements of creation, which are a display of the Kavod of Hashem. So here Rabbeinu Zal shows us that Negina, song, and this Noyam Ho'elyoin are one and the same. They go together. The divine sweetness is associated with this song, this holy song. V'loy gilo yoyser. Rav Nosson Zal says, Rabbeinu Zal did not go further in explaining this, in showing the connection. Now Rabbeinu Zal added another note to this Torah. Ashrei hazoiche lahargish ne'imus ha-Torah. Fortunate is the person who is zoiche to feel the sweetness in the Torah. Ki yesh ne'imus ba-Torah. Because there is a sweetness in the Torah. V'zeh ho'ikar. And this is one of the very important things when a person is studying Torah. Lizkos lahargish ha-ne'imus sheyesh ba-Torah. To be zoiche to feel that sweetness in the Torah. Because when a person feels that sweetness, all of the sweetnesses of the materialistic world, all the sweetnesses that the Yetzirah would want to offer to the person, are nothing in comparison. They become a joke. They don't compete in any way with the spiritual sweetness that a person can feel when they make the right connection to the Torah. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds the pasuk, Derocheho darche noyam, v'chol nesivoiseho shalom. This pasuk tells us the paths of the Torah are paths of sweetness. Noyam again, v'chol nesivoiseho shalom, and all the paths of the Torah are peace. So here again, we're pulling everything together. All the different concepts that Rabbeinu Zal presented in this Torah are all, we're seeing it all come together very tightly in these psukim, that we're being told that the Torah is one of the sources of this Noyam Ho'elyon. In fact, Rav Nosson Zal Likutei Halachos points out that the Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Truma, which we explained here, that the word Truma combined the Noyam and the Heichal, the word Truma also refers to the Torah. The word Truma is made up of two words, Torah, Mem, the Torah which was given in 40 days, and the Torah which comes from Bina, which is associated with number 40. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Ben Arboim Lebina. When a person reaches 40 years of age, they acquire this Bina, this understanding, which is associated with this Noyam Ho'elyon. You recall we mentioned in a previous year the concept of Nomi and Rus. We said that this corresponded to the upper Shechina and the lower Shechina, Bina and Malchus. The upper Shechina is called Noyam, Naomi. The lower Shechina is called Malchus, Dovr HaMelech, who comes from Rus. So if you look carefully and if you review, you see that Rabbeinu Zal tied together everything in this Torah. And this explains also, Rav Nosson Zal shows on Likutei Halachos, how whenever a Jew wants to study Torah, or especially, we know the Gemara says that there are three things that come through suffering, yisurim, difficulty, Eretz Yisrael, Torah, and Olam Haba. These three things come with, and the Gemara brings psukim to show this. This is in the beginning of Brachos. This is a statement by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And we mentioned that the Arizal says that this is part of this request that Dovid HaMelech made that we said here. It begins with the words, Achas Shoalti Meyes Hashem Oiso Avakesh. Dovid HaMelech says, there's one thing that I ask of Hashem, this is what I'm seeking. What is it? Shifti beveis Hashem kol yemei chayai. Allow me to live in the house of Hashem throughout my entire life. Lachzois benoyam Hashem ulevaker becholoi. To gaze at this divine sweetness and to visit in the Heichal. So that pasuk that we quoted in the chapter, it begins with this Achas Shoalti Meis Hashem. What is Achas? The word Achas, the Aleph, stands for Eretz Yisrael. The Ches stands for Chaye Olam Haba. That's what the Gemara calls it there. The life, the future life. And the Tov is Torah. That these three things are what Dovid HaMelech asked for Hashem. Why these three specifically? Because in these three is found this Noyam Hashem, this divine sweetness. Rav Nosson Zal explains that the Torah praises Eretz Yisrael about its wonderful fruit, that it's Eretz Chito, Usoira, Gefen, Te'ena, Rimoin, Eretz Zeis Shemen Udvash. So the Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was pleading with Hashem that he wanted to get into Eretz Yisrael, V'chi mipiri ratzalech? Is it the fruit that Moshe Rabbeinu was so interested in, that he was so desperate to get to Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Nosson Zalman asks on Likutei Halachos, 1 minute, what is the Gemara talking about? Who are we talking about here? We're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara had a havami, the Gemara had a thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was desperate for the sweetness of the fruit. And Rav Nosson Zalman explains that based on this Torah, we understand it. It's not a physical sweetness. We're talking about this Noyam Ho'elya, in this divine sweetness, a very, very high spiritual level that's found in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Torah is referring to when the Torah praises the fruit and produce of Eretz Yisrael. It's not praising it for its physical taste. It's talking about that Eretz Yisrael is the place on earth, as we said in the beginning, that there's no Chachma, there's no Torah like the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. There's no Chachma like the Chachma of Eretz Yisrael. The real Moichin and Seichel and sweetness, Noyam Elyon, is in Eretz Yisrael. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. So that's Eretz Yisrael. We showed here now at the end of the chapter that the Torah is a source of this Noyam Elyon, Derochecho Darchei Noyam, and in addition, Olam Haba. In order for a person to get, Olam Haba is the place of this ultimate sweetness that a person will achieve, the eternal life. And therefore, the Yisurim, when we say that these things come through Yisurim, why? Because these things represent this Noyam Ho'elyon in such a big way, when a person is trying to achieve these, when a person is trying to achieve that sweetness of the Torah, when a person is trying to achieve Eretz Yisrael, the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, when a person is trying to get to Olam Haba, the Moichin of Chutz Loretz come running, because they're looking to get their tikkun. And this is what makes it so difficult. This is what makes for the Yisurin. This is what makes for the suffering in childbirth. This is what makes for the struggles that a person has in achieving a true success in Torah, or a person being zeicha to really achieve Olam Haba. It's all because of these choivlim coming to attack and the battle that takes place. And the way that we do battle with this is by trying to repair the kovoid, by trying to see to it, by trying to realize that the underlying principle in the creation of the world is Hashem's kovoid. And therefore, I have to do everything I possibly can to show respect for Hashem. How do you show respect for Hashem? By doing what Hashem wants. The Gemara says, Retzoinoi shel adam zehu kvoidoi. A person's will is their respect. That's how you show respect for somebody, by doing, fulfilling what their will. So number one, it requires learning what does Hashem want from us, and trying to comply with that, trying to fulfill that. And number two, as Rabbeinu Zal expressed in this Torah, that there's a major test that all of us have in this world, because of the fact that the underlying principle of the creation of the world and the existence of the world is kavod, but whose kavod? Hashem's kavod. Therefore, the Satan tries to get us to want personal kavod, and he tries to shower us sometimes with kavod. Money is kavod. Ha'oysher v'kavod milfanecha. We have tests in this world. Person has children, my kids, my family, my house, my business, my wealth, all this my stuff, that everything is my, that it's all my kavod, instead of the person realizing that it's all from Hashem. Ein oid milvadoi. The children, it's Hashem's. There are three partners in bringing children into the world. The most significant one is Hashem. Wealth, we say it in davening, v'ho'oysher v'akovoid milfonecho, that liya kesev v'liya zovno Hashem. Hashem says, all wealth belongs to me. And we have to constantly remind ourselves about this and try to achieve to be boireach min akovoid. The mission in Pirkei Avos says, our mission is to avoid any personal kovoid. What does that mean? I shouldn't attain wealth? I shouldn't build a house? I shouldn't have children? Chas v'shalom. I should try to achieve all of those things, but always try to divert any kavod to Hashem. Give the credit to Hashem. A person's making a bris, they get up to speak. I want to thank my wife. I want to thank my mother-in-law. I want to thank Hashem. This is all Hashem gave me, my wife and my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law and the Suda and my life, my breath, everything we have comes from Hashem. So the first and foremost, I want to use it as an opportunity to give respect to Hashem. By doing this properly, that everything that's described in this Torah should happen. We should see good, healthy Jewish children being born. And in order for that to happen, there should be shiduchim. All those that need to get married should get married. And Klal Yisrael should attain wealth and success in every way. But never forget who's the boss. Boss means Adoin, Adoin. And the Adoin, the ruler, the melech, always to divert and to direct all of the kavod to Hashem. Any questions, please? A question that last week in the shir, we mentioned that sometimes we refer to the upper Shechina and lower Shechina as Rachel and Leah. Generally, the holy women are referred to as a manifestation of the Shechina, the divine presence of Hashem. Now, one of the ways we said was Naomi and Ruth. Rachel and Leah are also referred to. Rachel is referred to as the Malchus, representing the Malchus, the lower Shechina. Leah is referred to as the upper Shechina. We mentioned that the four legs of the throne of Hashem correspond to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. They are three of the four legs. The fourth one is sometimes referred to as David HaMelech. He's called the Regel Revi of the throne of Hashem. And that's why, for example, the four meals that we have on Shabbos, the Friday night meal, the Shabbos morning meal, and the Suda Shlishit, correspond to Avram Yitzchok Yaakov. Malava Malka, the fourth meal, is called the Suda of David HaMelech. At other times, the Zohar HaKadosh refers to the four legs of the throne of Hashem as Avraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov, and Rachel. Rachel is the fourth leg. She represents the Malchus. The word Iyar, we said the month of Iyar, is Aleph, Yud, Yud, Reish, which makes up the first letters of Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov, Rachel. And Rachel represents the lower Shechina, the Malchus, and Leah represents the upper Shechina. And we're told that Rachel is Be'izgalia, Leah is Be'izkasia. Rachel is revealed. The Malchus is referred to as the revealed Shechina. The Bina, the upper Shechina, is called more hidden, the heart. It's also referred to as the heart and the mouth. The heart is associated with Bina, Lev Mavin, Ulavava Yavin, Vishava Rafalai. There are many psukim that connect the heart to Bina. And the mouth is referred to as Malchus. Dabor Echod Lador, one ruler, one leader in a generation. Dibor is Malchus. Rachel Imenu was buried on the road, outside in the open, at the crossroads between Beis Lechem and Chevron. Leah was buried inside. This is the terminology that's used in the Medrash and the Gemara. She was buried inside with Yaakov Avinu, inside the Moras HaMachpelah. These concepts are discussed many times throughout the Zohar HaKadosh, throughout the Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus. And the more you learn these Sforim, the more you'll see the proofs to this, and you'll see different examples of how this is shown throughout the Torah. Any other questions, please?
Slightly off topic, but you were just talking about Moras HaMachpelah, and this week is Parshas Hayasar. Is there any spiritual things that any of the big rabbis say regarding that, or is this too off topic to bring up?
We're told that Sara Imenu also represented the Shechina, the divine, the Malchus. The word Sara means to rule. Sar means a ruler. And the Torah begins the Parsha by saying that Sara lived 127 years. We find in Megillas Esther, it begins by telling us that Ahasuerus was one of the world leaders. He ruled over 127 countries. It's not coincidence. Again, the Sifrei Kabbalah show the connections here between these things. That Sarah also represented the Shechina, the Malchus of Hashem. Now we start a new chapter, a new world. Torah Ein Beis. Rav Nosanzal tells us that this shir, chapter 72, was said by Rabbein Azal on a Shabbos, and there was a guest, one of the tzaddikim of the generation that had visited Rabbein Azal on that Shabbos. And it seems there's a question as to whether it was Reb Mordechai Chernobyl or the Balatanya. And on Friday night, Rabbein Azal did not speak any words of Torah, which he usually did. And on Shabbos morning also, throughout the meal, Rabbein Azal didn't say any Torah. And when they finished the meal, when they were about to leave, Rabbein Azal commented that even when a tzaddik does not speak words of Torah, just for a person to be seen by the tzaddik and to see the tzaddik, that's also very special. And then Rabbein Azal said, look at this, I'm speaking words of Torah right now. And he went into the whole chapter on the Likutei Moran that we're about to learn now. It came about through that type of a semi-joke, and Rabbein Azal revealed this incredible Torah. Rabbein Azal begins, Da, you should know, Sheliroys es atzmoy im hatzadik ho'emes. For a person to see and be seen by a true tzaddik, who gamkein dovor godol mo'oid, is also very special. For sure, when a person is zoicha to hear words of Torah from a tzaddik, humayla yisera, that's definitely better even, that's greater. But even if the person does not hear any words of Torah, when they come to see the tzaddik, hore'iya levad, shezoichin liroi sisatzmoy matzaddik, who gamkein toiv moid. Just the look alone, when the person is zoicha to see and be seen, it's an interesting term that Rabbein Azal uses here. He doesn't say lirois es hatzadik, he says lirois es atzmoy im hatzadik. For a person to see and be seen by the tzadik is also very good. And he's going to explain now exactly what happens. When a person is zoche to come to a tzaddik and to see the tzaddik and be seen by the tzaddik, the person receives greatness. The ikar hagedula, he shiflus. And one of the most important forms of greatness is humility. Kemoy shemotzinu etzel Hashem Yisborach. As we find the Torah says about Hashem, Kol mokim shatamoitze gedulosoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shom atamoitze anvesanusoi. Wherever you find Hashem's greatness, you find Hashem's humility. So we see that gedula and anava go together. Ki ikar hagedula, he shiflus. Because the most important greatness is humility. We know again when the Torah speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest person that ever lived, and the Torah wants to tell us about his achievement, the Torah says, Voho ish Moshe onav ma'oid mikol adam ashal pnei adama. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person out of all people on earth. Ve'ikar hatchia lo'osid, sheyamdu betchia ve'yichyu chayim nitzchiyim, when we speak about Tchiyas HaMeisim, the revival, the dead people coming back to life, and an eternal life, what the part of the person that will be brought back to life is the humility of the person. Ki hashiflus shel kol echad ve'echad, it's the humility of each and every single person that's what's going to rise up when Hashem brings the dead back to life. That's what's going to rise up, and that's what's going to live eternally in the future. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya Novi, Hokitsu Verananu Shoichnei Ofor, wake up and sing, you who are lying in the dirt. V'dorsh Rabbi Seinazal, and the Gemara says in Soita, who's going to rise up and sing? Mishenase shochein laofor bechayov. A person who was close to the dirt while they were living. Close to the dirt means humility. Like we pray, like we say at the end of Shmon Esrei, v'nafshi ke'ofor lakol tia. Hashem, let me be zoche that I should be like dirt to everybody. I should consider myself beneath, smaller, lower than everybody else. Ki ikar hatuchuma b'tchia yerak l'hashiflus. Because the main rising up when Hashem will bring the dead back to life will apply only to the humility, meaning to the humble people, to the little guys, and to the humility of each person. Shehashiflus shel kol echad v'echad yenichya v'yokum b'tchia l'asid. It's the humility of each and every single person that will be brought back to life and will rise up in the future. Now we know that according to the Torah, when a Jew dies, in order to prepare them for getting into Olam Haba, we put them into the ground. This explains the whole concept of burial, Jewish burial, which is so important, so significant. Because Rabbi Nizal shows us here that in order to get into, in order to be part of that revival of the dead, it requires humility. And one of the ways that we do this is by taking the body of a person. We talk about kavod hames, respect for the dead, respect for a funeral is all about kavod hames. We take this Jew, this body, this person, this human being that is so complex and so deep and so important, and we bury it, we put it into the ground. And it's that yerida, that shiflus, that humbling of the person that serves as a springboard to prepare them for Olam Haba, for Tchiyas HaMeisim. We find also the Gemara says, Ki beko Hashem tzur oylamim. Hashem created worlds, plural, worlds, two worlds, with two letters of his name, Yud and He, Yud K. So the Gemara says that the physical world, this world, was created with the letter He. The future world was created with the letter Yud, which is the smallest letter of the Aleph Beis. What does that tell us? That it's the little guys, it's the humility, that's what will appear in Olam Haba. That's what will exist in Olam Haba. And now Rabbi Nizal is going to explain why it has to be this way. Ki tainug Olam Haba, ief shelonu lahasig achshav. The pleasure of Olam Haba, of the world to come, is something that we can't possibly conceive of now. There's a pasuk, a famous pasuk that Rabbi Nizal mentions in other chapters in Likud Imran, Ayin loy ro'aso Elohim zulasecha. No eye has ever seen Hashem, the likes of Hashem, Ya'ase lamechak Eloi. That's what Hashem will do for those who wait for Him. Referring to Olam Haba, the world to come. The future world is described as something no eye has ever seen, which means we cannot conceive of it. Why? The reason is because we now are within boundaries. We are within constriction. And anything that has limitations, that has boundaries, cannot conceive, cannot perceive the pleasure, the spiritual, the divine pleasure of Olam Haba, which is infinite. V'alkein, and therefore, Oineg Shabbos, the pleasure of Shabbos, Shehu Me'ein Olam Haba, which the Torah defines as a taste of the future world, Amr Rabbi Sein Zechanov, our rabbis tell us in Shabbos, Kol Hama'aneg es HaShabbos, any person who shows the proper respect and love for Shabbos, Noisnen Loi Nachlo Beli Mitzorin, Hashem gives that person a portion that has no boundaries, no constrictions. Hainu Beli Gvul, this means boundless. Ki Oineg Shabbos, Shehu Me'ein Olam Haba, Hu Bechinas Bilti Gvul. Because the pleasure of Shabbos, which is referred to as a taste of Olam Haba, is this concept of no boundless, infinite. And we know the word oineg, the Zohar Kodesh tells us, the word oineg makes up the first letters of Eden, Nohar, Gan, which are terms used to define the future world. Eden and Gan and Nohar, the river that flows from Eden to Gan. V'alkein, Iker Chaim Nitzchim Shelosed Lavoi, and therefore, the real eternal life of the future, Bechinas Tainug Olam Haba, which is the pleasure of that future world, Yihyeh Rak LaHashiflus Shel Kol Echad, will only relate to the humility of every person. Ki Shiflus Va'anivus Hu Bechinas Bilti Gvul. Because humility is also something that means I don't take up any space, I'm nothing. Humility means, the epitome of humility, Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'nachnu mo, we are nothing. Nothing occupies no space. Ki hu bechinas ayin mamish. It's literally nothing. V'ein loy shum gvul. Nothing has no boundaries. Machmashu betachle so'anivus. Because the person is the epitome of humility. V'ikar chayim nitzchim shelolam haba, and the true essence of the eternal life of the future is also this infinite, this infinity, this no boundaries, no tzimtzum at all. V'alkein Shabbos shehu me'ein olam haba, and therefore Shabbos, which is referred to as a taste of olam haba, ne'emar boy, it says about Shabbos, toyameho chayim zochu. Those who taste Shabbos have achieved life. Which life? Ki mi shetoyim tam oinig Shabbos, zoiche l'chaim. Because a person who tastes the taste of the pleasure of Shabbos is zoiche to life. Which life? Bechinas chaim nitzchim, eternal life. In another chapter in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about humility, in Torah Yud Dalit, in the first half of Likutei Moran, in paragraph Hey, Rabbeinu Zal there speaks about a Jew attaining Torah, achieving Torah, and he says a person cannot achieve Torah ela alidei shiflus. The only way to achieve Torah is through humility. We know that Hashem gave the Torah on the smallest mountain, on Har Sinai, because it was small. And he also quotes the Gemara in Erevin, which says, umimidbar matona, that Hashem gave the Jews the gift of the Torah in the desert, in the sand of the desert, midbar, something that everybody steps on. And there Rabbeinu Zal defined different levels of humility, and he said that the final level of humility is referred to in the Pasuk Shivu Ish Tachtov. The Pasuk says each person should sit beneath themselves. And Rabbeinu Zal said this means that even if the person is the smallest person, let's say we're speaking about people in a room, and if let's say I'm the smallest one in the room, then it's not enough for me to consider myself just that I'm the smallest one of everybody here, but rather I have to try to perceive myself as smaller than that. Shvu ish tachtov. Let each person sit beneath themselves, below myself. So if I'm a minus 20, then I have to try in my mind to consider myself a minus 30, lower than that. And that pasuk is written about Shabbos. When the Torah speaks about a person staying in their place, not going out of bounds on Shabbos, we know that on Shabbos there's the concept of tchumen, that a person isn't allowed to travel past a certain distance. So it says, shvu ish tachtov, let each person remain in their place. But Rabbeinu Zal explains it also to refer to this concept of the ultimate humility, that even if a person is actually the lowest, the smallest, it's not enough for them just to perceive themselves as that, but to always consider myself less than even what I know I am. On a simple Gashmi level, we would talk, let's say, money is one of the things that people respect. So if there are millionaires and billionaires and all, and a person has $10,000, and a $10,000 person commands a certain level of respect, he's certainly better than a person who has nothing or a person who only has $3,000. The $10,000 person should perceive themselves as a $1,000 person, that type of thing. Any questions, please?
Rabbi, how does one reconcile seeing ourselves beneath ourselves for the sake of humility and with self-esteem? Because it comes to a certain point that, I mean, it's kind of hard to, you know, to see oneself as something really worth it if we're really, especially if you're already kind of a person with a low self-esteem, you know what I mean? So how far lemata can one really go and not feel that way, you know what I mean?
Very good question, very important question, because this is a theme throughout the entire Torah, throughout life, and Rabbi Nizal speaks about this many times. I often refer to this as the two pockets. A Jew must always have two pockets. In one pocket, I'm nothing. I'm less than nothing. I haven't even begun yet. I haven't even started to accomplish what I should be accomplishing, what I should be doing. In another pocket, I am royalty. I'm a member of royalty. The Gemara says every Jew is Kol Yisrael b'nei Melochem heim. We are royalty. And Rabbi Nizal quotes the pasuk, Vayigba liboy bedarkei Hashem, that King Yehoshaphat was proud. He took pride in the ways of Hashem. And we make a brach every morning, Asher bochar bonu mikol ha'amim. Hashem has chosen us from all the nations. We believe that all man is not equal, that the Jewish people are in a completely different league, completely different position than all the other nations in the world. And we are the whole purpose of creation. And we are more important than all the mountains and all the rocks, the expensive rocks. If somebody has a diamond that's worth $100 million, that's nothing. That doesn't compare to a human being, to a Jew's fingernail in importance and significance. We must always maintain both of these. And whenever the Satan, whenever the Yetzirah wants to make us arrogant in a harmful way, we have to be able to favor pocket number one and tell ourselves, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, I have no reason to be arrogant. Anything good that I have comes from, it's Hashem. It's not me, it's Hashem. Any gift that I have, any success that I have, only comes from Hashem. However, when the Satan, when the Yetzirah wants to pull a person down, when he wants to make us depressed, when he wants to take away our self-esteem so that we'll feel it doesn't make a difference if I go to shul or not. It doesn't make a difference if I light candles on Friday at 4:15 or 4 o'clock. It's not going to change the world. Then we have to know that we are royalty. Every move we make changes the entire world, everything in the world. The Gemara says a person should perceive the world as if it's in perfect balance, the good and bad, the mitzvahs and averus of the world, perfect balance. My next move, whatever I do, will change the entire world. I can even move the whole world to the side of merit, or chas v'shalom, the opposite. If I do a mitzvah, I will tip the scales of the entire world to a favorable state. And if chas v'shalom, I commit a sin, I can tip the scales of the entire world. This is, a person must hold on to both of these and know when to apply each one. Generally, a person should be humble and small. So a person considering themselves smaller than everybody else will be able to learn from everybody else. But at the same time, when it comes to making a decision to do a mitzvah or commit a sin or to do something good, and the Yetzirah wants to stop me by telling me it doesn't matter, I'm nothing, then I have to be able to know that I'm not insane. I'm the most significant thing in the world. I can change the whole world.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Sure. Anyone else?
Rabbi Myron, can you define a little more the difference between Olam Haba, which God willing we all go to, and then the resurrection of the dead happens, and then how are they different, or are they not?
The answer is, this is a very, very long, deep discussion, of which I have a little bit of knowledge about it. In other words, there are stages and phases. The Gemara, especially the Zohar Kodesh, Sifrei Kabbalah, speak about, there's the coming of Moshiach, then 40 years later, there's the resurrection of the dead, and then there's something called Chiddush HaOlam. Then there's a concept of a new world that Hashem will create. These are different phases, and it requires different levels of privilege for a person to be part of this. Then there's the concept of Gan Eden, and there's Gan and Eden, which are also two different levels. And there's the concept of Olam Haba, which is a place where the souls go to, those souls that are pure. Once a soul is purified, it goes hopefully to this place called Olam Haba, the future world. But it's in the Sifrei Kabbalah that they go into deeper discussions to clarify when and how all of this takes place and what it takes for a person to be zeicher to participate in all of these things. One of the messages that we get throughout Rabbi Nachman's Sforim is that this is one of the reasons why it's so important to try to come close to tzaddikim, because even though we know that we have many shortcomings and we're lacking in many different ways, if a person is zeicher to attach themselves to a true tzaddik, wherever the tzaddik goes, that's where his constituents go. A tzaddik has the right to say, he's with us, he's with me. And therefore, even if the person on their own merit didn't necessarily deserve to go to achieve these places, these levels, by trying one's best to serve Hashem properly, doing whatever I possibly can to do the right thing and avoid the wrong thing, but especially making it a life goal to attach myself to the tzaddik in all the different ways that I can, through this a person can assure themselves that they'll be zeicher to be part of this, that they'll be zeicher to be part of Tchiyas HaMeisim and to be part of Olam Haba and the Chiddush Olam, etc., etc. In this chapter, Rabbeinu Zal is focusing on one of the most important attributes, which is anava, humility, because this is really one of the most important barometers. Rav Nosson Zal shows in Likutei Halachos that the first sin that was committed in this world, all of the problems of this world, came about through gaiva. When the snake approached Chava, what was his offer? He said, you know why Hashem told you not to eat from that tree? Because he doesn't want competition. He's afraid. He knows that if you eat from that tree, you're going to be just like him. This is the wording in the Chumash. That Hashem is, well, you know what? Yoidei alekim. That if, ki biyoyim achol chamimenu, v'yisem yoidei toiv ora. You'll be able to also know the difference, understand the difference between good and bad. And when Chava went ahead and ate from that tree, meaning she wanted to be like Hashem. She thought she can, that by eating from this tree, will be like Hashem. And this was referred to, the Sifrei Kabbalah say, this was a pigam in gaiva, an arrogance. Crazy? Think you can be like Hashem? You're going to become Hashem by eating this tree? And therefore, one of the most important focuses in rectifying the whole world is this issue of humility. And this is why the Torah spends so much time, so much focus on this, because this is one of the most important factors by far in repairing the whole world. And many other things, Pigam HaBris, and other things, are all tied into this issue of arrogance versus humility. There's a pasuk, Eishes Ish, Nefesh Yekara Hi Totsud. Another person's wife traps a person who is arrogant, who considers themselves important, special. There are many proofs throughout the Torah that all sins are rooted in this issue, that if a person could really realize how small we are and how great Hashem is, we wouldn't do any sins, we wouldn't do any wrong.
Rabbi, how do we attach ourselves to a tzaddik? I mean, do we have access? I don't really see how to do that personally.
In chapter 4 in Likutei Moran, in the first half of Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal defines a few important aspects. One is by searching for and going to the tzaddik. Number 2 is by giving tzedakah to the tzaddik. Number 3 is by a person really opening themselves up to the tzaddik, being really open and expressing their shortcomings and everything, and seeking the tzaddik's advice and help. This can apply to a physically living tzaddik, and this is something that could also be done at the grave. This could also be done by studying the writings of tzaddikim. That's another way that we, looking at the tzaddik, and one of the ways of looking at the tzaddik is looking into his sforim. Rabbeinu Zal says in Likutei Moran that the face and soul and wisdom of a tzaddik is in his writings, in his teachings. And also, Rabbeinu Zal says, the students of a tzaddik, that the face of a student reflects the face of the rabbi. This is just very brief. We have a lot of shiurim on this topic. The more we learn Likutei Moran, you'll hear more about this. And again, you can go back to chapter 4 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal goes into depth in explaining this. There are other chapters also where he speaks about this concept of attaching oneself to the tzaddik.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Wishing everybody a wonderful week and looking forward to continuing this Torah and Mitzvah Shem next week. 2 weeks from today, in another two Sundays, is going to be Yud Aleph Kislev, which is the yahrzeit of my rabbi, Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha. I hope we're going to have a special program for that. We'll inform everybody in the upcoming days, Mitzvah Shem.
Question.
Please.
Is it still time for a question?
Go ahead, please.
So, in Torah 33, the Rebbe says, Le'er v'satzmeim Hashem Yisbarach, and you mentioned this now on this Torah, Liris v'satzmeim Atzadik. Why is the Rebbe always using this interesting language?
I believe what he's referring to, just like over here, we mentioned that it's a two-directional thing. It's a two-directional thing. It's seeing, as we're going to see later in this chapter, Rabbeinu Zal is going to discuss what's accomplished when we look at the tzaddik and what is accomplished when the tzaddik is looking at us. Over there in chapter 33, and also in Sipurim Isis, Rabbeinu Zal makes reference to that, to love oneself with Hashem. It means for us to express our feelings, our love for Hashem, and for us to become a vessel to receive Hashem's love. Again, it's this two-directional effect. Very often in this world, there's a concept where you have two, and one person loves the other one, and the other one loves them less, that kind of thing. Rabbeinu Zal is emphasizing here that this is something that's going both ways, and it's that combination that really achieves the goal that we're looking for here.
Yashikaya.
Sure. Baruch Hashem.